It is January 23rd, 2023, and this is the John Lothian News Daily Update. I'm John Lothian. This podcast gives an overview of content from the John Lothian newsletter, including commentary from our hits and takes section, stories from the first read section, a listing of the top three stories from Friday's newsletter, and of the first three stories in the lead section of today's JLN. This podcast is a production of John Lothian News, home of MarketsWiki and MarketsWiki Education. We encourage you to learn about the history of trading from our Open Outcry Traders History Project or the Path to Electronic Trading video series at johnlothiannews.com. Here are the hits and takes comments from today's JLN. One of the interesting things about the ABAX exchange is their thought leadership, whether in their popular podcast or the white papers they publish. They have published a new white paper, Alibi, with a partial overused title. The title of the paper is Back to the Futures. The best commodities benchmarks are still physically settled. In the paper, ABAX talks about how, quote, since 2002, the advancement of financially settled energy products via the NYMEX Clearport platform, incumbent futures exchange operators mostly neglected physically settled products. This created problems. Why? We dig into the issues below and present tangible arguments why today's LNG and other global commodity markets require physically settled benchmarks for better price discovery, more reliable hedging, and improved risk management. ABAX today submitted specifications for its LNG contract. Streets Consulting has a new YouTube series titled Metaverse, What Matters? The series includes Julia Streets' avatar, as well as that of the founder of Responsible Metaverse Alliance, Katrona Wallace. I can remember when Julia was a real person before she was sucked into the metaverse. There is a link in today's newsletter for episode one. The price of eggs is a popular topic when talking about inflation, and the Wall Street Journal has a story that gets to the cause. It is titled, Worst Avian Flu in U.S. History is Hitting Poultry, Wild Birds, Even Bears. My comment is, oh my. Employers have tried many things to get workers to return to the office, including free lunches, massages, and happy hours. How about free heat? Bloomberg reports some workers are returning to the office in the UK because of the freezing weather. In a story titled, Freezing Weather Sends Some UK Workers Back to the Office. There's an interesting essay on the debt ceiling issue in the New York Times by Eric Foner titled, The Constitution Has a 155-year-old Answer to the Debt Ceiling. Matthew Artizoni is starting a new position as managing director of StoneX Digital at StoneX Group. Matthew Waldus is now managing director at MSW Consulting, which offers collateral and margin optimization, stress testing analysis and benchmarking, exchange clearinghouse process consulting, risk monitoring framework assessment, portfolio liquidation analysis, and regulatory risk audit consulting. Waldus was previously executive director of risk management at the CME Group. Journalist and author Kevin Morrison is starting a new position as energy finance analyst at Institute for Energy Economics and Financial Analysis, IEEFA. I met Kevin when he was a reporter with the FT. The CME Group is looking to hire an education content senior specialist in Chicago for a hybrid position. There was an error in the weekend update. We included different images and links for the William Nottenbelt Part 1 video interview rather than different images and links for Part 1 and Part 2. Our apologies. We are adding a new feature to the JLN partner sponsorship for John Lothian News that includes a banner advertisement with one of the news sections of this newsletter. If you want more information about it, let me know. We continue to send out invoices. Thank you to everyone who's requested an invoice or paid or set up on PayPal for recurring payments. You are all greatly appreciated by all of us at JLN. The World Business Council for Sustainable Development, WBCSD, for you acronym accolades out there, is launching the Pathfinder framework in 2 sessions. The first on January 25th, 2023 at 4:30 p.m. CET, and the second at January 26th, 2023 at 10:30 a.m. CET. The WBCSD's Partnership for Carbon Transparency, PATH, has developed the Pathfinder framework, which takes a cross-section approach to help organizations develop and exchange primary data-based product carbon footprints, PCFs. You can join either 90-minute session for the virtual launch. Learn more and register with a link in today's newsletter. Here are more stories from the first read section of today's JLN. From Reuters, who is Barry Silbert, the head of Genesis owner DCG? As an investment banker, Barry Silbert worked on some of the highest-profile corporate failures. Now, as founder of venture capital firm Digital Currency Group, parent of troubled crypto firm Genesis, he is grappling with problems closer to home. Silbert, 46, cut his teeth on bankruptcies, including Enron's and WorldCom, when working at California-based investment bank Houlihan Lokey. The experience working on complex, problematic restructurings proved invaluable, he told the U.S. Senate Banking Committee in 2011. My comment, the other day I accidentally spelled his name Barry Dilbert when writing it. Not sure what to make of that. Here is another story, this one from the Financial Times and Robin Wigglesworth. Happy 30th birthday to the ETF. Looking good. As the asterisk hints, the headline is not quite correct. One of the ETF industry's favorite, supposedly obscure, but actually pretty well-known factoid is that the first ETF was born in Canada on March 9, 1990, but the almost $10 trillion ETF's Industry 2 progenitor is unquestionably the SPDR S&P ETF Trust, which was born with $6.5 million of seed money 3 decades ago today, and first started trading a week later on January 29th. My comment, one creepy quality product led to a whole industry. Here's the top 3 stories from Friday's JLN. Our top story Friday was the Wall Street Journal's, Are You Storing Wine Properly? Here's What It Can Cost and Save You. Second was the New York Times, Is It Bad to Drink Coffee on an Empty Stomach? Third was a millennial founder who sold her company to J.P. Morgan for $175 million, paid a college professor $18,000 to fabricate 4 million accounts. This email exchange is a doozy. This was the story's 4th time in the top 3. Here are the top 3 stories from the lead section of today's JLN. The lead story today is from Bloomberg. The headline, Citadel makes $16 billion to top Paulson's greatest trade ever. LCH table shows 20 hedge funds made $22.4 billion profit. However, losses grew among smaller outfits in volatile year. Ken Griffin's Citadel churned out a record $16 billion profit for clients last year, outperforming the rest of the industry and one of the history's most successful financial plays. The top 20 hedge fund firms collectively generated $22.4 billion in profit after fees, according to estimates by LCH Investments, a fund of hedge funds. Citadel's gain was the largest annual return for a hedge fund manager, surpassing the $15 billion that John Paulson generated in 2007 on his bet against subprime mortgages. This was described as the greatest trade ever in a subsequent book by the same name by Gregory Zuckerman. The next story is also from Bloomberg. The headline, The crypto crackdown is just getting started. Money laundering, fraud, and tax evasion, real or virtual, are risks that won't go away on their own. There was much mirth online when the U.S. Justice Department announced the arrest of crypto exchange Bislato's founder last week. Unpronounceable, unknown, and unlike any of the far bigger fish like Binance getting headlines, Bislato looked like a small fry, a nothing burger. The fact that Bitcoin resumed its march past $21,000 seemed to confirm it. But this ignores the much bigger picture. In the first few weeks of 2023, watchdogs have done a lot. On January 3rd, a joint statement by U.S. bank regulators warned the industry of crypto risk creeping into the banking system. Then came a $100 million settlement with Coinbase Global Inc. over weak internal controls, a lawsuit against the Winklevoss twins Gemini and broker Genesis for allegedly selling unregistered securities, and a $45 million settlement with lending platform Nexo, which has ceased U.S. operations. Subpoenas are flying! And then here's a story from the Financial Times. A $1 trillion coin, a silly idea to resolve the U.S. debt ceiling wrangles. The proposal is a response with uncertain outcomes to a threat with known and catastrophic consequences. I've been covering the debates in the U.S. Congress over the debt ceiling for a decade. For only slightly less time, I have been covering the suggestion to have the White House end those debates by instructing the U.S. Mint to issue a $1 trillion platinum coin. These conversations have been going on for so long that since they began, I have lost one dog and had two more children, one of whom is already old enough to play ice hockey. The ceiling and the coin are as familiar to me as the five-year-old conversation with my wife over whether to share our to-do lists in an app. Thank you for listening to the John Lothian News Daily Update. Please consider telling a friend about our podcast, and if you haven't yet, please write a review on Apple Podcasts. This helps new listeners find us. Also, if you aren't already a subscriber to the daily John Lothian newsletter email, you can get a free 90-day trial at johnlothiannews.com/trial. Have a great day and stay safe and treat people the same way you want to be treated, with respect, equality, and justice. This has been John Lothian. Goodbye.